Good morning, everyone. This is Martha Tremblay of LA County Sanitation Districts. We're ready to start our executive committee meeting for the Santa Monica Bay Restoration Commission meeting. I believe we have quorum. Caitlin, do you want to go over meeting procedures?
Yes, thank you, Chair. So we're grateful to have Hyperion host us and audiovisual support from AGP staff. If you need restrooms, they're down the hall and Wi-Fi is on the board. This meeting is in a hybrid format in which we have members and the public participating both remotely and in person. If you need technical support connecting to or using the Zoom meeting platform, please email it@agpvideo.com. And in order to provide public comment, you must be in person or on Zoom. So if you're in person, we have speaker cards for you. Participating via Zoom, please use the virtual raise your hand function, or you can dial *9 if you're participating over the phone. This meeting is being recorded and live streamed, so we ask that you please speak clearly, and please remember to turn your microphone on when you speak and off when you've finished. That concludes meeting logistics. I recommend we move to roll call.
Yes, Caitlin.
Okay. Just give me one moment to screen share the roster. And I'll be calling members in alphabetical order by last name. E.J. Caldwell.
Here.
Annalisa Moe.
Here.
Clark Stevens.
Here.
Martha Tremblay.
Here.
Laura Wardrip.
Here.
And Erica Yelensky.
Good morning, present.
Okay, that'll conclude our attendance. I recommend we move to item one for public comment.
Thank you, Caitlin. I do want to apologize for our little bit of a late start, but we'll do the best that we can to get through our business today. So in terms of public comment today for items not on the agenda, I believe we have one request for public comment.
Yes, we received one request in advance. And this was to provide written comments. Okay, so these comments were submitted by Walter Lamb, and I'll start reading his comment now. The following comments are submitted by Walter Lamb on behalf of the Bayona Wetlands Land Trust. As more information becomes available, it has become more clear to the Land Trust that the Santa Monica Bay Restoration Commission was intentionally manipulated by EPA staff and by the Commission's National Estuary Program Director to replace established scientific and policy language with, quote, alternative language, end quote, in its work plan based on vague, quote, informal guidance, end quote, instead of the written guidance that EPA staff and the NEP director knew contradicted what commission staff were saying about the informal guidance. Whether wittingly or unwittingly, commission staff directly contributed to this effort by neglecting to obtain the written guidance for the commission's review. While the commission chair has not acknowledged this publicly, she did confirm in an internal email to commission staff that she had inquired about the existence of written guidance and had been incorrectly informed that no written guidance existed. The Bay Foundation submitted its grant application to EPA Region 9 on May 28th, but has refused to provide a copy to the commission based on its dubious claim that the application is not yet final. As is routinely the case, commission staff have acquiesced to the foundation. EPA's regulatory deadline to approve, conditionally approve, or disapprove the application is July 27th. Given the extensive discussion at the April 17th commission meeting regarding the timing of the grant application and subsequent grant funding, it would be a sharp reversal for the commission to now claim to have no interest in the status of the grant application. We are therefore asking the commission chair to ensure that the NEP director provides an update to the governing board at this meeting as to the status of that grant application. We also ask the chair to comment on the written guidance, including whether she has reviewed it and can acknowledge what the guidance says about ocean acidification and climate change. Thank you for reading these comments into the record.
All right, thank you, Caitlin. Moving on to the next item, it's the order of the agenda, and I do believe we're gonna make some changes here, right, Luke?
Yes, that's correct. I recommend moving item 2E before item two, sorry, before item 2D. So moving item 2E before 2D.
Okay, that's great. Is this something required that requires a motion or anything, or we can just, Eric is online, right?
I am. Okay, there we go. Good morning, everyone. Unless there are any objections, you can just go ahead and make that change.
Okay.
So no vote needed.
Okay, yeah. Great. Thank you, Eric. So no objections. All right. We'll go ahead and make the change. So we'll hear item 2E before 2D. All right. Great. Thank you, Luke. So next item on the agenda is the report from the administrative director. Luke.
Thank you, Chair. So since the last meeting, commission staff have continued to work with the executive committee on developing recommendations for the CCMP. That's part of that survey that was sent out prior to this meeting. So we will have a discussion about that later in the meeting, which will also include an updated timeline for the CCMP update. So it's been significantly updated since the last time it was presented to you in May. Commission staff have also continued to work with our technical advisory committee members on developing a template for the State of the Bay report. So again, that's our the NEP's report on the health and function of various habitats around Santa Monica Bay. The wetlands chapter, which is being authored by the Southern California Coastal Water Research Project, is anticipated to be completed at the end of this year. So there will be a presentation to the governing board from them, as well as a chapter of the State of the Bay report to review. So we will be working closely with them. They are the first chapter that will be released for this iteration of the report. So that's very exciting. And finally, for some items that are in the near future, commission staff will be working with the Bay Foundation to submit the NEPORT report to the US EPA in September. That is a report on the acres of land restored and acquired, as well as the amount of funding that various projects receive in the NEP. So that report will get submitted to the EPA in September. Commission staff will also work on the annual report with the Bay Foundation, which is due in October. So that gets submitted by the end of October. And on that note, commission staff and the Bay Foundation had been planning to provide a presentation on the previous annual report. That presentation was originally scheduled for the February governing board meeting, but it kept getting postponed due to full agendas at our governing board meetings. So commission staff believe that in the time since February, most of the information that was in that presentation has been delivered to the governing board in the form of reports from myself and Tom Ford. One notable example was Tom Ford's presentation at the June governing board meeting. Let me know your thoughts on that, but we feel most of that information has been conveyed already. But other than that, I have no other updates. But share thoughts with me on that annual report presentation, if you have any.
So any thoughts? I think, we ran out of time at the last governing board meeting, and we talked about maybe sending information through email to the governing board members, right? And I think it's always helpful if we send information, but then also provide an opportunity to show, to do a brief presentation. So I think if we can fit it in, it would be helpful to, we can still send the information, via email or whatever, but then also let's see if we can make some time to make that happen, because it's just a reminder of if we can do it's a summary format anyway, and it kind of highlights the good work that's being done on our behalf, right, and the commission's behalf. So I think if we can make it happen, let's try. But, you know, but we will try to send something electronically, right, when people have a little bit more time, and then maybe do more like a high-level summary presentation.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, we'll give the presentation then. We'll try to schedule it on a future agenda. And if it falls in line with the next annual report getting submitted, maybe we can include some additional information. But we'll look into that. Thank you for the guidance.
Can I speak up? Can you hear me? This is Erica. If it does end up falling in line, it would be, you know, just timing-wise. And if there's a way to update numbers or just the project status, I think we'd all benefit from getting that, because it's almost, I think that the report covered, did it cover the last federal fiscal year, which ends September 30th, 2024, or was it the calendar year of 20 that ended December 31st?
It was fiscal year.
Okay. Which we're nearing. Okay. Just maybe I don't want to add work to anyone's plate, but I think it would, we might have to do loop 2 years into one. I don't, if that, I don't want to, if that's all right, Martha, I just, depending on the timing, because if it ends up being in October, it's your call. You're the chair. I just, at that point, would want more updated info. And personally, I use that information for internal briefings as well. And it helps. And I hope that all of you then take that presentation to your organizations. Or at least if you need a cheat sheet, maybe that would be helpful to hear. Like, what do you need to share back? Thank you.
That's fine. Thank you for the input, Erica. And yes, I think we can try to be strategic. And if it can fill more than one purpose, that would be, I think we can try to do that. Yeah. Thank you. Any other thoughts? All right. Thank you. All right, so we can move on then to the next item, which is consideration of approval of the May 15 meeting minutes. There's no changes proposed by staff. Does anyone have any last minute revisions, edits? No? Okay, hearing none, is there a motion to approve the meeting minutes?
I can motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
All right. Caitlin, we have a first and a second. Let's do roll call vote.
Okay. One moment for me to share the roster. Okay. EJ Caldwell.
I believe I'm okay to vote yes on this, though I was not present at that meeting. So is that correct? I'm able to still support the motion, but noting that I was not there.
Eric, do you want to weigh in on this? I believe you have discretion to vote however you'd like.
Sorry, I was having a little technical difficulty there. So when it comes to the minutes, you don't have to be there, but you should be familiar with the meeting. Mm-hmm. And have read the minutes so that you can confirm that the minutes correspond to the meeting. So if you haven't done those things, I would recommend abstaining, which is okay. We can still pass this through with an abstention. But
no, that's perfect, Derek. Thank you. I'll abstain.
Okay, abstain. Oops. And then Annalisa?
I was also not present, but my alternate Emily was, and we have reviewed together, so we will approve.
Thank you. Clark Stevens?
Yes, same thing. Same situation.
Martha Tremblay?
Yes.
Laurel Wardrip.
Yes.
Okay, the May meeting minutes pass. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Caitlin. So the next item of the agenda is, this is one where establishing the August 21st governing board meeting agenda. We are going to do 2E before that one, right?
Okay. That's correct.
All right, great. Let's then move forward to item 2E. That's discussion of the Santa Monica Bay National Estuary Area Program CCMP update. Luke?
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to share some slides, so please give me a moment here. Okay, there we go. So this is a continuation of our discussion on the Comprehensive Conservation and Management Plan update, which we have been we've been having these discussions for several months now, if not over a year. And we are in the process of reviewing the public comments that we have received regarding the CCMP. And these are comments spanning several years. These are comments that were typically received in our annual work plan process that commission staff felt were more appropriate for a CCMP update. So we're finally considering all these comments. There are 475 of them in total. And we received these in a written format through email. These are comments given during a public comment period at meetings and comments given at workshops. And this will be we reviewed some of this material at the last meeting. And at this meeting, we will finish that up. So on this slide, as directed by the executive committee, commission staff categorized all 475 of those comments into the categories you see here in this table. And the ones highlighted in red are the ones that are the categories that we looked at the last meeting. So there were many of these comments that were not actionable. There was no action that we could take, or they were comments regarding work that we already did. And then we also reviewed recommendations that were regarding outreach and engagement, as well as tribal engagement and collaboration. And as a result of that discussion at the May meeting, here are three main takeaways from that discussion. There were some others, but these were the main ones. The executive committee agreed that tribal and public engagement efforts from that partners are doing should be captured in the CCMP. That would be a good place for all that information to live. Staff were also encouraged to conduct tribal outreach. That has been an ongoing discussion with the executive committee. And a brief aside on that, commission staff will be ready to conduct some tribal outreach very soon. So we'll have some updates there in the very near future. But I'm not going to cover that just yet. And then finally, we discussed the possibility of having more information from partners regarding events and career development on the SMBR website. Staff have not had capacity to look into that, but there is a possibility that we're able to do that in the future. So kind of making our partner organizations a little more prominent on the BRC website could be beneficial here. I'll pause here. That was my wrap up from the last meeting, but I don't know. I'll pause here in case anybody had anything they wanted to add from that discussion.
Any comments? Those online?
I wanted to make sure I wasn't glossing over anything. So for today, I wanted to take on some of these new categories that you see here highlighted in red. This is the same table I presented a few slides ago. These are the categories I'm hoping to get to today. They include recommendations for new actions. These are or new next steps. These are new items to the CCMP. These are things that did not exist in our current CCMP, could potentially get added to this next version of it. And then there were a lot, seven total comments that we received that were recommendations for collaboration. So I'm actually going to start with that one. That's maybe the easiest one to go with. So we received recommendations to collaborate with these organizations over the years. They include Ocean Conservation Society, Baldwin Hills Conservancy, Marina Del Rey Anglers, Tatavium Land Conservancy, and East Yard Communities for Environmental Justice. So my question to you all is, are you currently doing any work with any of these folks? And is it work that would be applicable to the CCMP? Or are you aware of any other partnerships that could tie into the CCMP with these folks? You could also just take this as an FYI if you wanted to reach out to them. But let me know what you know. Also, let myself and Caitlin know if you think we should conduct outreach to any of these organizations. So any thoughts?
Any thoughts? Or I know I have a question in terms of, I'm not familiar, maybe the Angler group, maybe we had someone on the board a few years ago, but besides that, are these groups, have we gotten any correspondence from them or comments? Or, I mean, I'm not familiar with most of them.
I would say Hilda Bay has in the past engaged with East Jersey communities before, as well as the Baldwin Hills Conservancy. We work with them particularly through our watershed coordinator team for the Safe Clean Water Program, since we serve in the Central and South Santa Monica Bays. So we have engaged with them in the past. I would have to kind of go back to my team and get some more details to see if it would be applicable to include in our reporting. But those have been very good working relationships in the past, so I'll say that.
So the RCD has been working with, of course, we're familiar with Marina Del Rey Anglers because of their participation and the overlap on the board. The Tatavium, we are working with directly on a couple of projects. The corollary to that is, are they within or beyond the scope of what the Bay Restoration Commission might be? But not the Land Conservancy itself within, kind of more directly with the tribe and then beyond just consult on historic, mostly involvement on technical advisory committees, and potentially working towards subcontracting with roles in outreach where the Tatavium would be hosting, kind of the host community for larger outreach within areas that cover their ancestral grounds. I can't remember
what I guess was on the list.
I mean, so could definitely, if you're looking, could... For to vouch for them, I'm not really sure what the question is here.
The question is: these were recommendations from the public on folks that the commission should be collaborating with. These are not members. So the question is: I'm trying to see if there are any current projects or partnerships going on that our members are doing that are right. applicable to the CCMP, right. put that project in.
That's true, and, you know, but I think it would broaden it. So there are other coastal communities within the sphere of the Bay that tribal communities that should be a part of that too. So it wouldn't be exclusively the Tatavium. You know, I there are a number of bands of, you know, Tonga Gabrieleno and even Chumash in the North Santa Monica Bay. So, so I think it gets dicey when you start talking about, like, you know, the boundaries. We don't want to weigh in on that. But I would just say that the invitation should be there for all of those that have history and interest in the resources.
Okay. Thanks, Annalisa.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I have no doubt that this is already on folks' radar, but just saying it out loud that as we do tribal outreach and engagement, that we explore any opportunities for collaboration.
Yeah. As I mentioned before, commission staff are prepared to do tribal engagement regarding the CCMP update. So we will keep you updated on that. And it does include some tribal organizations as well. So I'll just add that. But thank you for your thoughts on this. I'm going to move it forward. This is back to that slide I've been showing of the categories. So now what I want to discuss are the other two categories highlighted in red here, those recommendations for new actions for the CCMP and recommendations for new next steps. A next step is a bit of jargon, a bit of CCMP jargon. I've kind of lumped these two categories together. They are recommendations for adding new activities that did not appear in the CCMP or in our current version of it. And those were the items that were put in that survey that was distributed to executive committee members and that I asked you to give a rating to for just to get a sense of what your priorities would be. So I'm going to present those results here. They're not all on this slide. They're spread out across a few slides, but I'm going to start here. And as I go through each of these items, it would be helpful for executive committee members to let us know if they, you know, how strongly they feel about including these items or maybe not including them in the CCMP. We also, please let us know if for some of these items, commission staff aren't necessarily aware of ongoing efforts. So if you know any information about any of these items, we would appreciate that as well. So I'm going to start at the top with the first item. And actually, I'll just pause to note that Tom Ford is now in the meeting. So thank you, Tom. But back to the survey results, the highest rated item was support for efforts to upgrade residential sewage infrastructure. So our current version of the CCMP doesn't really take on that task. And it seems like our executive committee felt that that might be something good to include. I'm not aware of any specific programs regarding this. So if folks know, please let us know.
So, Luke, just to clarify, in terms of we were more reacting to this is these are items that were brought up as part of receiving public comment, right, for a few years, right?
Yeah.
I think we were more reacting to the, okay, these are out of those things that came up, you know, these would be in terms of trying to rate them, right? So this first item, it's basically kind of supporting people going from septic to like some sort of centralized sewer system. Is that what, I mean, that's how I read that one to be.
So the original public comment, I think, was a bit vague on that. It could include that. It could also be lateral lines, I suppose. I'm not sure.
Well, yeah, I was hoping we would talk about that item and get some clarification because the RCD would have concerns about, you know, turning things into point source treatment and release, increasing that, you know, a new Hyperion or yet another. We're very much in favor of well-functioning distributed wastewater infrastructure so that each site contends with its impacts rather than delivering those impacts downstream through pipes to create a point source difficulty, expense, and output problem. It's kind of an extension for us of the pave it, pipe it, pollute it problem that we're trying to change to, you know, to create a kind of more permeable and distributed treatment of all infrastructural impacts and integrate that with green infrastructure wherever possible. And really, septic systems are ancient, but there's a lot of new and upgraded, particularly with recent mandate from the state to increase housing through ADU development that now allows us to It's still required to have on-site treatment, but it's now allowing us to propose enhanced systems, the latest that really do a good job in site. Before, you couldn't go to that option because it's not idiot-proof, right? It was newer and unproven. So the places where conventional works and what the state wastewater on-site treatment wastewater system defines very well what working means and what not working means. I think that there are potentially more downsides to collecting it. And every site is different. Every region's different. There may be trunk lines appropriate. There may be places where you can do that and it won't be an incentive to growth in places that maybe aren't appropriate for lots of reasons. So it becomes a planning issue. But we did not rate that highly because it's not clear what it means. And for us, it would mean improving on site, maybe batch plant treatment in certain regions that then was of a scale that it could have a wastewater, a green infrastructure component. It could be tertiary treatment, could enhance habitats, even artificial ones. But anyway, so yeah, there's a lot underlying that. So while we supported it, it's with significant qualifications. It's not a let's have more city sewer.
I just wanted to chime in. Yesterday, the State Water Board had an update on the statewide wastewater needs assessment. It's an ongoing $4 million contract that is looking at statewide challenges and opportunities with the sanitation access and equity. So I really exciting to hear your thoughts on this, Mr. Yeah. Stevens. And
it's linked to that minimum flow as well, because if it's not going into the ground, it's not going into the aquifer locally, you're transferring it, you're taking water from one part of the system and doing a good job treating it somewhere else, but that transfers energy, it's the energy carbon water nexus. You move it and it has impacts that are not good.
Regionalization and on-site, there's different opportunities and different solutions. There's one size doesn't fit all.
Yeah, exactly. It's multi-scale approach and improving the distributed, the micro approach is preferable from a resource perspective. Yeah.
So I guess, Luke, I guess in thinking more about this and hearing the discussion, I think what you're saying is that currently we don't have buckets for some of these. These are pretty specific, but overall, like the first one is, I mean, we are very supportive of improving water quality, like protecting water quality, right? And that's where, sometimes if you don't have good septic systems or whatever, there's a threat to water quality. So I think we might have an action already that captures that, right? Or just like the next one in terms of trash removal and cleanups and BMPs. I mean, there's a trash TMDL in our region, right? So it's part of safe, clean water, or, I mean, we probably have an action where that one falls under two. And so maybe if you look at it that way, and even like with the wildfire events now, because of these last few months, there is an effort now that's ongoing. So I do think with an existing actions already, that's almost like a sub action, right? Because it's all, for us, it should all be, it's supporting protecting water quality, right, from impacting the bay. And, we do look upstream and that's important. But yeah, I think it's more maybe look at these to see which are where we really don't see. And we definitely don't want to get into some of the details, politics, all that stuff.
Well, I understand, but I would just say that the problem with our statements relative to water quality is that we all nod our heads. And then what's the most expedient least cost or not even least cost, the most expedient way to create the benefits of good water getting back into the system is to collect it at the furthest point downstream in any, regulated jurisdiction and stick it in some kind of a BMP, which isn't very B. It's more M than B. And then, okay, I win, right? I'm out from under my requirements, my TMDLs or whatever. And and this is just what we've seen, it doesn't distribute the goodness of the treatment throughout the regulated district. It collects it all at the bottom and says, I'm a good city manager, I'm done. It's just, you know, speaking frankly at executive type level, that tends to be the unintended consequence of, yes, we're all about water quality.
Yes, but I think what he's looking at in terms of, do we start up a new action or not? So I think if we look to see where there's already some synergy in what we have, and we list them, right? These things are important, right? And
I'll use the second one as an example of kind of what I'm getting at. So in the current version of the CCMP, there really is no perfect place where trash cleanup fits. We have an action regarding reducing marine plastics, but that's through policy. So for example, Heald Bay's monthly cleanups or coastal cleanup day, there is no place that neatly fit in the current CCMP. So, you know, this is kind of a low-hanging fruit here. It's an ongoing effort that we know about, and this is an opportunity to kind of make space for it in the CCMP. And it would have been good to have the next presentation we'll have before this one, because you'll see some of the flexibility that will be built into the CCMP. So. So yeah, we're still sticking with this trash removal effort and BMPs. Another example would be the Biona Creek Interceptor. So I think that is listed as a project under reducing marine pollution, but it doesn't fit so well. So the question here is, would Heald Bay be open to including their trash cleanups in the CCMP, you know, having a space for that? That's a question for you. Or regarding the first one, if there is any ongoing project regarding updating any sort of sewage infrastructure in any form, you know, is there any ongoing project that we could keep tabs on, commission staff could keep tabs on for the annual reports, et cetera?
Yeah, I think for that one, because of the fires, right, there's Malibu is at the crossroads, right, in terms of how they move forward with the options. So, yeah, that's definitely something that there's ongoing work and we can track.
There is, and it's also where there's, right, I think that this is a good new action item. I'd like to see that sentence tweaked a bit. I don't like the word sewage because it implies sewers, right? But what it really is black water. How do we turn black water into green water, and where do we do it? Is something that could be looked at, should be looked at, because we'd love to see more and more of it done on site. And in terms of the runoff projects that we're seeing to upgrade residential output, again, it's tending to be now collected at the end of the cul-de-sac and do quick treatment and send it to a good thing, which is recycling Las Virgenes and turn it into drinking water. What could be wrong with that? Well, it's not in the aquifer, so fish don't drink, but it's not there for them to swim in low water years. So again, it's just like, if we could tweak it somehow, it's a really good thing.
Yeah, it's not proposed language up here, but it's just like, yeah, what kind of areas can we add? Yeah, Tom.
Hi, everybody. I think the term, at least it was a few years ago, was, you know, on-site wastewater treatment systems. Yeah. And I hate introducing jargon unnecessarily, but I think in that case it does give us the brackets that I think you're asking us to entertain.
Right, and upgrade means it's done good.
Right.
So then upgrade on-site would be a good thing, and that's what it's meant.
And I think there are a number of examples in the watershed, but namely near the coastline in Malibu specifically, where we've seen these, you know, on-site tertiary treatment systems that folks have installed on their homes. And I know that there's a lot of policy questions around how many, the frequency of getting those converted, their performance, their maintenance, the costs to put them in, which have some pretty big...
The ocean's cooperation.
There's some big numbers in that, but I think that the opportunity through the update of the strategic plan for the CCMP will allow us, as you'll hopefully see in just a few minutes and be like, yes, that looks great. Not just the opportunity to work on that, but also to try to inform policy and or place them. Whereas Laurel was just sharing with the findings of that statewide work group, which I had not heard of before. So that was, thank you for sharing that.
I'm gonna keep things moving. I've got a few more slides, if that's all right. Oh, sorry. Whoops.
I love on-site wastewater, so I could talk about this all day. But I was just going to offer one thing that's a huge challenge in California is any kind of grant opportunities to pilot new on-site or green. I love this green water. It's a new term. So if there's something that you could pilot in this, that's a really fascinating opportunity.
It's water that has gone through a green infrastructure from human use to, you know, to resource use. That's not a Wikipedia definition. I just proposed one.
I'm going to keep going through this list, but I'm going to skip the third one momentarily and get to the bottom three ones. So I'm skipping down to support routine or ambient monitoring between wildfire events. So for this item, Jenny Newman presented a lot of information about this at the last meeting. So the action I was going to take is to reach out to Jenny at the Regional Water Quality Control Board and see what efforts they are doing and if they would be interested in adding those to the CCMP. Then we got numerous comments supporting minimum flow requirements to maintain beneficial uses. To put that in plainer language, folks were concerned about there being enough water in freshwater streams, rivers, in the watersheds. They were concerned about the amount of water in them to support habitat. So this might be an item I need to check on with other state board staff to see what kind of activities are going on or regional board staff regarding this item. And then for the bottom item, support the use of source identification studies for water quality. I'm not aware of anything going on, but I think Safe Clean Water Program might be a good place for staff to ask about ongoing studies. Or maybe our elected officials might have some information.
Yes, there's SCORP. There's different cities have looked at different things. This is, and the focus has been bacteria issues in receiving water. So I can share some information with you.
Okay. Thank you, Chair.
And I also believe that some folks at SCORP are partnering with city staff on pilot projects around that. So it might be good to hear what's going on there.
Okay, thank you for those leads. So we'll talk to SCORP. And I believe LA Waterkeeper I know they've done studies like that in the past, so I can check in with them as well. Circling back to the third item on this table, so we got comments that wanted us to support projects that restored multiple habitat types simultaneously to... add context to that. The comment was referencing, restoring a kelp forest very close to a dune restoration on land, kind of this terrestrial marine link. So a lot. I know there are many projects that already inherently restore multiple habitat types, but I don't know. This is more of a suggestion for a philosophy than...
Is a scoring criteria or something? I think, you know, that idea of a transect, complex edges, multiple ecotones is a good one,
But is it a thing on its own, or is it a characteristic of restoration which is supported? Or
yeah, see, seems like Tom might have something to say about that.
Okay.
I think also for this item, the next we can't predict it, but maybe the next time the commission gets funding through the state, this could be something we consider. Where you know maybe the last round of funding went towards monitoring. So if the commission wanted to fund restoration, maybe this is a way that they could do it. That's how I see this, as kind of a philosophy. I don't know how it would fit in the CCMP, but yeah, Tom.
Yeah, if I reflect back to past proposition funds that the commission was advising, directing, some of those early criteria for making sure that there was green space involved in what were otherwise typically gray infrastructure projects, acknowledging the benefits of permeability, surrounding other investments that were, you know, maybe getting at a bigger quanta of water. And I think it helped aid the confidence of municipal engineers in our region about how they could build these projects, the benefits of those, sort of helped elevate public interest in what was going on. Like, oh, they're building some concrete thing in the ground next to my street. Whatever, out of sight, out of mind. But then bringing that green natural element to the surface, having the signage there. And I think we've seen this become something of a blueprint. And it was, I think, the inertia for that came out of some of those prop funds that the commission used to direct by saying, hey, these are the criteria that we want for folks to be scored against when they apply. So I think that in past practice, we've accomplished some of that around this table, Luke. And I think that there's room for that in the future, depending on how that all goes down.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, Annalisa.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely saw that one as more of a like strategic level item. But one way that like potentially could become an action item is like Safe Clean Water Program right now is going through a watershed planning effort to really look at how does the implementation of all these projects kind of work together within the ecosystem. So maybe if that work has already been done, uplifting it, maybe updating it, or doing a similar watershed scale planning of like how does all of our restoration projects individually, how do they link together and how do they support each other? Just understanding their impacts on each other. Like if they are close enough, does that have a synergistic effect, or are we doing them too far apart for that to occur, that kind of thing.
So investigating how all of the commission's projects work in concert. That's great.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. So you've got more on your slides, right?
Yes. Okay. And we have limited time, so I'm going to I don't want anybody to feel too rushed, but yeah, I'll try to get through these as quick as I can. So on this slide, these are the medium rated items from that survey. And first thing I'll point out are there are two wildfire items on here that are different from the previous one. So the one on the first page that was more highly rated regarded monitoring, and these ones are different. So I just wanted to point that out, maybe like seems to be folks were more on board with monitoring or saw that more in line with the commission's mission than these two wildfire items, such as supporting wildfire prevention strategies. You could see that there at the top. And then the third one down, conducting rabid habitat restoration after a wildfire. So any thoughts there on these two wildfire items? And I'm not sure. I'm not aware of any ongoing efforts regarding these. But.
Yeah, the RCD is involved with versions of both of those statements more going forward. What we saw was conduct rapid habitat assessment after wildfire and restoration where needed and appropriate, like rescuing trout that are going to disappear and would have if they hadn't been moved out of the way. That's the first thing, is so rapid assessment and movement and having a plan in place so that that can happen through regulatory channels and all those things. We were lucky. We just had just enough work done on that front to be able to get the fish out. But I was also in meetings with city staff after Palisades fire where they said, well, the word is we're not going to improve it. We're just going to put it back the way it was in the city. But what's that stuff up there? And we had city engineers like, don't we need to, like, you know, and they had V ditches in their minds, I feel like. I'm sorry. That's, we were concerned about that. So it's understanding what's there. And it is a great opportunity for places where we had weed bed as opposed to seed bed. And so getting out while the fire has taken everything out and restoring appropriately would be, you know, taking advantage of a very, very bad thing. And it does relate to pre-fire preparation and management, as opposed to just saying wildfire prevention strategies. I know these are comments from the public, but again, I look at that and I think ignition prevention strategies is better than wildfire prevention, because it's getting at the root of the thing. If we have fine, flashy fuels that are also non-native and not good for the habitat, they're really good at starting little fires. And they result when people say, let's get rid of the heavy fuel, which is another word for habitat when it's on fire. But most of the time, if it doesn't ignite, it's not fuel, it's habitat. So these are good things, but again, it's in the details. So I think that's why there's sort of a middle rating, because there's no panacea, right? It's not like, hey, you know, indigenous people did burns, therefore let's burn. There are places in the Santa Monica Mountains where people who know more about this than I do, it would be appropriate to do so. There are a lot of places where it would not. And, you know, goats would be better or whatever. And honestly, it's not the problem. The problem is from the house out. It's the first 5 feet and then the first 100 feet beyond that, it goes to zero. Statistically, what matters to house survival goes to zero at 100 feet. Many, many, many studies establish this statistically. Don't bother. If it's beyond 100 feet, it's habitat restoration. And it's about fire transfer, but it's not about structure survival.
Okay, thanks. Clark, if you don't mind, I'll follow up with you all about what you have going on. And then related to that, there were comments regarding the Palisades fire burn zone and supporting Sandy Beach restoration and public open space. The one project I'm aware of in that area is the Topanga Lagoon restoration. And I'm not aware of any others. It's likely too soon to say anything on that. I'm going to skip down to the aquaculture items. So there were two suggestions there. Folks from the public wanted us to study potential impacts of commercial aquaculture in Santa Monica Bay. And there was also a call to support sustainable commercial aquaculture. So this is definitely something that the state permits. So commission staff can try and get in touch with permitting agencies on these two items and see what's happening, because I'm not aware. But if others have info, please let me know.
I was just going to kind of wonder if we had any intel on this being an independent effort or more of a interagency coordination, since there's so much work in that space agency-wide. I just was kind of wondering, was it going to be like a hyper-local effort or?
It seems like folks, yeah, I think, I don't know, it might have to be, we might have to tune into the statewide.
Okay. That would be
process here, I would think.
Good, but I'm not sure what the commenters would, what they were looking for.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Okay. Tom?
Yeah, the California Department of Fish and Game Commission's Marine Resource Committee just happened to meet yesterday. And at the end of, near the end of their proceedings, there was, what are we doing with aquaculture? We don't seem to have been making a lot of progress, and a great deal of concern for methods and materials contributing to marine debris promulgation from aquaculture. And it was a fairly protracted conversation about the challenges that the state is experiencing trying to figure out where and what and how aquaculture looks like. Outside of 3 miles, we're now into federal space, and NOAA has designated areas of opportunity in Santa Monica Bay for potential aquaculture development. I don't know of any efforts right now of applicants trying to move into that space. A number of years ago, my phone was busy ringing with folks going, I want to do this, and it's kind of winnowed off a little bit. I think it's got some tremendous potential in a number of ways. There's a lot of restorative aquaculture, which might be what folks are saying when they're saying sustainable. But, you know, I think up for our interpretation as well as up for our opinions as to what we want to try to see as a target for us with our upcoming plan.
I think restorative aquaculture is a good term because I'm wondering at what point are restoring marine ecosystems creating aqua culture that can be cultured, right? That can be collected, that can be, right? If there's a fishery again because of that. So in a way, any kind of artifice, right, is artificial. So, but restoration, just creating more abundance equals potential. I mean, Rosie always says that about the steelhead. It'd be awesome if someone actually could catch and eat a steelhead in the future. It means it truly is sustained and sustainable. It will never be commercial fishery, but, well, I don't want to say that, but yeah, it's like, where's the line, right? What's aquaculture, and does it make sense in certain species and not others, right? Abalone, I'm thinking of the abalone, right? That's really aquaculture. You raised them little and put them back out there. It's kind of, it's a hybrid, right? So, but it's also restoration. So yeah, it's a good thing to have there somehow.
Can always get the hook and tell me to shush. But yeah, Clark, in reflection of that, you know, the abalone recovery and management plan that we're tied in with, joint federal state management. And the idea is, yeah, we want to get them back there enough so then that opportunity to harvest them is there again. The cultural connections of that are significant. And, you know, it's not just an ecological improvement that we're striving for. And yeah, I think that there's a lot of overlap in those spaces.
And okay. Yeah. I'll just add really quickly that, I mean, we can certainly work with the state on understanding kind of the general potential impacts of aquaculture. But I do think that, like, as the Santa Monica Bay Restoration Commission, our focus could be on, like, what are the specific impacts to the Santa Monica Bay that we would need to keep an eye on, and focusing on that. And then, you know, the potential to bring in academic partners on that. I know, like, Santa Monica College has a program that Heal the Bay is a partner on. So kind of leading on those experts.
Okay, thank you, Annalisa. Yeah, it sounds like we have a lot to work on then. We'll touch base with Tom, our other agencies with the state, and Heal the Bay on that. I'm going to move quickly, so I'm sorry. we got a recommendation to study noise pollution on marine life, the impacts of noise pollution. I might run that idea past some TAC members. I'm not aware of any efforts regarding that, but please let me know. And then that last one, support policies that limit livestock production in Santa Monica Bay watersheds. What I can do here is reach out to the regional board and see what they are doing regarding water quality and livestock permitting. But I'm not aware of any ongoing policies limiting livestock production in the watersheds. These were the lowest rated items on this slide. And again, sorry, I'm going to kind of go through these quickly. So there was support to provide sanitation services to encampments, such as trash removal. So that is something that could be, I could check in with LA Sanitation on, or other, some maybe the elected officials on the governing board. There was support for hand restoration projects in the Biona wetlands. This is actually a modification of an item that was that's currently in the CCMP. So there is a project in the current version where there's hand restoration, hand removal of invasive species. However, it was a project specific to Friends of Biona Wetlands. And this was a recommendation to make that more broad to apply to any group of people who's able to obtain a permit from CDFW. Moving on, there was a recommendation to have the commission promote plant-based diets for to mitigate against climate change. Recommendation to reintroduce sea otters to Santa Monica Bay, and support for expanding all marinas and harbors in Santa Monica Bay. Again, I'm not aware of any ongoing projects for those items, but please let staff know if you know anything. I'll pause here for a brief minute. I have two slides left, but any questions or comments on those comments? Okay. So the last comment categories here that I've highlighted in red, these are the ones we have not discussed with the executive committee, but these were relatively non-substantive. So these were comments that we are going, the commission staff will work with the Bay Foundation on. So they include small modifications to an action or next step, like changing a word or editing the document for a typo. Or there was a recommendation to remove an action or next step. So we will reach out to the parties involved in that next step to, or in that action, to see if they are supportive of that. Finally, here's a tentative timeline. In August, a draft CCMP is expected to be available for the governing board. In September, commission staff will begin the public outreach process for the updated CCMP. And finally, in December, the governing board could potentially consider adoption. So thank you there. That's everything for me.
Thank you, Luke. And I know I have some comments, but I think I'm going to wait until Tom does his presentation in terms of the timeline and what I would suggest we do in preparation and sharing the information with governing board members. Does anyone have any comments for Luke at this time?
I'll just say thank you. That was very helpful. I now know where to get the information I need, so thanks.
All right, so then that wraps up item 2E, right? So now we can go back to item 2D. And first we have an item 2DI, consideration of, oh, I'm sorry, 2D is establishing the August 21st governing board meeting agenda. I'm sorry, I was just kind of jumping ahead. And as at this point, what we have are a couple of items. One is consideration of adoption of a resolution regarding the amendment to the Commission's Conflict of Interest Code, which is an admin item that Luke will share a little information about now.
Yes, thank you. So some of you on the board might be familiar with submitting Form 700, disclosing potential conflicts of interest for the commission. Every 2 years that the commission's conflict of interest code has to get updated. And commission staff have coordinated with the California Fair Political Practices Commission to create those updates, and the two updates that they recommended are to rename the administrative director role in the conflict of interest code and to revise the disclosure categories for commission staff. So there are no impacts in this update for commission for governing board members that have to file. So this will have to be voted on by the governing board, and then it will go back to the California Fair Political Practices Commission for approval. So that's that concludes my update on that, but happy to answer questions.
All right, any questions on that admin item? No? All right, and when you do the item, Luke, you'll have a brief presentation for the board in terms of, I mean, it really affects you.
Yeah, I had slides for today, but okay. For time, we should keep going.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Okay, so the next item was a presentation on the draft action plan for the Santa Monica Bay National Estuary Program Comprehensive Conservation and Management Plan. So, Luke, I believe you are going to introduce Tom for this item.
Yes. So, as I've mentioned in this meeting and previously, staff have been working with the Bay Foundation and the Executive Committee on CCMP, on the CCMP update. And Tom will be presenting a re-envisioned CCMP, a new version of it. So take it away, Tom.
It's a nice term. I like that, Luke. All right. Thanks, folks. I do have a number of slides. I don't know that it's necessary to get through all of them just in advance, but I wanted to make sure we had a couple examples for everybody to take a look at. So, Caitlin, let's just start marching. Very legible. Got a couple slides up front here that are pulling the language from Section 320 of the Clean Water Act, as well as the Protect and Restore America's Estuaries Act, which very much set in place what the funding coming from the United States EPA in the form of a 320 base funding, and at least for the near future, funds that are coming through the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. So trying to make sure that we are meeting those requirements. So assessing trends in water quality, natural resources of the estuary, that I think we aspire to do that. Collecting, characterizing, assessing data on toxins, nutrients, natural resources. Number four in this, I think, really gets very close to the point. Developing a comprehensive conservation and management plan that recommends priority corrective actions and compliance schedules addressing point, non-point sources of pollution, restoring and maintaining the chemical, physical, and biological integrity of the estuary, including restoration and maintenance of water quality, a balanced indigenous population of shellfish, fish and wildlife, and recreational activities in the estuary, and assure that the designated uses of the estuary are protected. For B, addressing the effects of recurring extreme weather events on the estuary. 4C, in summary, increasing public education and awareness of the ecological health and water quality conditions. Next slide, please. Herein, under the PREA Act, we see discussions about vulnerability and approaches to assess vulnerability and start to take action or efforts that we are experiencing warmer summers, warmer winters, warmer waters, increasing drought, increasing storminess, sea level rise, and ocean acidification. So these are some of those points that I think we need to navigate to in order to produce a CCMP and subsequently work plans off of that CCMP that will answer the charge. Get to the next slide, please. So I don't expect everybody here to have memorized the old plan by any means, but we had our overarching goals. These were those seven goals. So you see, enhancing, improving ecosystems of Santa Monica Bay and its watersheds. Ties back to the act tightly. Water availability, water quality. I see these connections, no worries. Socioeconomic benefits, public engagement and education. The socioeconomic benefits probably tie into that recreational space and designated uses of the estuary. Public education and engagement speaks for itself. Increasing resiliency to climate change. Not to pick at the scar tissue at all, but recurring extreme weather events is the term du jour, and improved monitoring ability to assess effectiveness of management actions. And I think that ties into all of our efforts coordinated through the State of the Bay efforts, what our TAC principally does, and many projects that provide us data to help inform that. There were 44 specific actions that were then grouped under five action categories. These are those action categories: direct management actions, governance and policy, stakeholder education, research and monitoring, and developing funding, and or partnerships. We'll also state that there are several actions in our old plan that had assessment, monitoring, reporting, and actual restoration actions, or, you know, active management of some system or investments. And so then where do I track all that, right? It's a little confused, the old plan in this way. And we are proposing changes in the new structure, or the new anatomy of the CCMP, to separate that. So if I'm restoring abalone, that's going to happen under a specific goal. The monitoring of abalone would be falling underneath another goal, and we'll make those connections. The next slide should illustrate it fairly clearly. So here's the sort of our philosophy on what we have been working on. So we have six goals that we're moving forward with. I'll share those with you on the next slide. But why these six goals, and why are we organizing this way? Compatibility with the production of annual work plan development. Arranged functionally, restoration, monitoring, improving water quality, and having those separated, yet they will be linked in the document the way it's described, but being able to track progress and report clearly and show advancements that don't have multiple commas and caveats and explanations. And as I spoke at the top of the presentation here, keeping consistent with Section 320 and the PREA Act. Next slide, please. So goal 1 through 6, habitat restoration and biodiversity, water quality and availability, community engagement and education, method development and monitoring, policy development and governance, and extreme events and emergency response preparation. So reflective of, I think, a lot of what the conversation this committee just had around the survey and the results, and some of our more expansive thoughts on that matter. So I believe we feel good about these, and I'm certainly hoping that you'll all either say yes, no, maybe so. And you're welcome to jump in anytime here.
Could I add? Oh, sorry.
Please. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I was just going to mention one thing. Yeah, in the current iteration of the CCMP, each of the actions is a very specific item. So, yeah, part of what's happening here is adding flexibility and kind of broadening each of these categories. So, yeah, right? Do I have that?
Yes. And the next slide, I think, gets to a bit more of that structure, Luke, if you'll entertain it. So I've shared with you what the title of those six goals are. The underneath that is the vision statement for why we have that goal. And the words were already shared today about what it means to restore a number of different habitats, and then over time all those ecotones and all the spillover and all the benefits from biogeochemical cycling to ecological functions to socio-cultural economic benefits, all then benefit. I'll share with you the generics, and then I'll take you through a couple samples of all of this. So vision statement, objective statement, what it's about, objective statement, what we're trying to accomplish, and then that theory of change as to if we get it done, this is what we should see in response. And Nick Hafner, who's been a big help on this, I know he's online. If we end up feeling like we need to bring him in, we might be able to. Actions. The actions have an objective, which is going to be a subset of that objective statement of the goal. Action history, 10-year performance plan, related actions, and then that specificity that I think resides currently, Luke, in those actions that are so narrowly focused, then falls into this strategy level, where we're being very specific. We're going to put, we're going to take X amount of trout from the bottom of Topanga and get them over a barrier and get them up top. That would be maybe not the best example I can come up with right now, but it's the best I got as we're on the fly here as a, for instance.
Nicely to be counted.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be cool, right? Yeah. Does it show you their number when they swim by? Awesome. And again, you get folks, feel free to interrupt me or back it up at any point. Let's try the next slide, though. Give you a little bit more here to look at. So, you know, there's our goals. Each goal defines a broad priority for the Santa Monica Bay and its watershed. Again, this vision statement is a long-term aspiration. The objective statement, the measurable outcome that we aim to achieve, and the theory of change being how the activities will lead to meaningful impact.
Yes, so, Tom, I guess I like this, but this looks to me like a strategic action plan, which is fine. And typically, it's 5 years, 10 years, whatever. So I think we are moving in the right direction, but we are going to have to make sure that we all understand, the board members understand, the public, that we convey information to the public, because we're going from the first slide, I think you have the six objectives, and we're breaking that up. And
so I acknowledge that there's a lot of translation,
yes,
that will need to be done.
Yes.
I think part of the question before us is how much of that must we undertake to say, hey, here's what the old plan looked like. This is what was retained. This is what was retained, but shows up in a different spot or has morphed. Due to refreshing of the language, I think that's a very fair question, Martha, and trying to figure out how to do that.
And that we're going to be transparent. And I think what's most important is if we are eliminating anything, that we be clear if there is an elimination of something.
But, absolutely. And I think that those questions are questions that we have at the staff level of the various partners involved in these projects, like, you know, we've got a stream protection ordinance
when
that's
it's
been
completed,
sitting there.
Well, that it'd be clear, you know, I'm hoping that as we go through this iteration, there have been projects that have been completed and we've achieved, and that there will definitely be a clear summary in terms of, okay, this has been completed. These are the outcomes. This is where you can find more information, and that we make the time for that. And that there's no concern that because we are reimagining this, that this plan, or presenting it a little different, that it is a different plan. It is not. It's a continuation of what we're doing. We are just setting it up in a way that will be clearer in terms of what we're doing, and so that it's clearer for the public, because ultimately our audience is the public and our partners and everyone that works with us in terms of, and of course, EPA that provides funding that makes sure that it's clear in terms of what we are doing.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think clarity is a big part of what we're trying to achieve, and that traceability so that it doesn't maybe require so much translation, and the emphasis here on being able to take this overarching strategic plan, break it down into a one-year unit, and have those achievements narrowly specified, very clearly visible, and being able to check the box and be able to show folks that, yes, we said we were going to go do it, we went and did it, and it's done. There was a lot of aspirational language mixed into the actions in many places that leaved it to, is it ever going to get done? And I'm not going to say that what we've devised yet here is perfect, but I think it gets at all those questions that you're asking, Martha. And I think that there are a few either things that we have achieved that could come off the plan, but I do often wrestle with this, you know, like Peter Douglas's famous quote, like, you know, the coast is never saved, it's constantly being saved. And I interact with people and they're like, so when are you going to be done, you know, cleaning up the water? I was like, never. Right? It doesn't stop. So I think trying to make sure that we're saying, hey, we wanted to achieve this by this date, and that's the next big step for us to take in regional water management and water quality improvement, and being able to show the public that that's what we're committed to. Maybe that helps illustrate what I'm trying to get towards. Thank you. Actions, turning goals into programs. Each action defining a major area of effort under a goal. There's about 2 to 4 actions per goal. And at this stage, in translating the 2018 action plan over to this, we've gone from 44 actions to 18. Some of those elements, again, that were at an action level are now at a strategy level. But here's sort of the anatomy of what we imagine in an action. There's the objective, the history and summary, a 10-year performance plan, the strategies that then get further elucidated are listed, and then the related actions where, hey, if I do this, this will also benefit. Or if you're interested in the restoration of abalone, you should also go look at, you know, item number blah, 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 which is where we're describing the monitoring or the data gathering that we would do to describe the effectiveness of that strategy. Next slide, please. I was expecting 1 o'clock today. So each strategy's specific implementation approach to achieve an action. At this point in time, at this draft stage, you know, 2 to 6 strategies per action seem to be about where it's falling out. So the location, the expected benefits, the lead and partners, implementation milestones, again, for trackability. And we will take another look at the language that we're using there to make sure that it conforms with current guidance, because there are very specific pieces that are defined in annual work plan production that we want to incorporate up to CCMP so that that connection and that trackability is inherent.
And Tom, sorry, this would be just for translation purposes. The strategies are maybe what we currently call actions or next steps, right?
That's the better fit. The next steps are certainly sort of the strategies. Again, because I think some of the actions can be confused or complicated the way they're currently authored. We're trying to separate those elements out at different levels so that, you know, all of the goals translate to one another clearly. All the action levels are of a similar import, and that the specific, yep, and now we're going to go and move the lifeguard station at Topanga to here would be something that would fall in at a strategy level. I'm just using you as my exemplar today, Clark, because it's distant. Here's an example. Goal 1, habitat restoration and biodiversity. That, by the way, is a white abalone that we saw on Friday. Among the 14 that we've encountered in this past couple weeks, so big deal going on. Hi, sweetie. We took some of the tentacles from that organism along with samples from all those others, because we know the parentage of any of the abalone that we've outplanted. So now we can go back and say whether they're ours or not, and from which coupling and which outplant, or if a combination of the above. But just some of those types of details, you know, would be able to show up in our monitoring.
Is it glowing?
No, it was God just shining at that.
I was going to say, it's like charismatic.
That is the flashlight.
Okay, that is the flashlight.
Yeah. Thank you. All right, next slide. Here's our vision statement for goal one, habitat restoration and biodiversity. Santa Monica Bay and its watersheds restored to thriving habitats where biodiversity flourishes and ecosystems are resilient to recurring extreme weather events and human interference. Again, up for editing, but that is an example of the vision statement. Next slide. Here's the objective. What do we do with this? Enhance biodiversity and ecosystem services by restoring, protecting, and improving critical habitats, ensuring the recovery of native species, and fostering resilient ecosystems that support sustainable environmental and socioeconomic benefits. So if you were coming in out of the public or being introduced to this plan for the first time, serving on the commission, you now understand the premise of what we're going to try to do to achieve our vision. And then the theory of change. If sufficient funding, partnerships, and expertise are secured to implement marine habitat restoration activities, such as, then the interconnected ecosystems of Santa Monica Bay will be revitalized, resulting in improved biodiversity, coastal resilience, enhanced ecosystem services. I think you get the gist. Economic recreational benefits to local communities while mitigating the impacts of climate change. I'm sure that phrase will need to be changed. So what does this cook down to? Action one, restore coastal and marine habitats. Currently we've got like three or four potential actions under here. Again, I didn't bring them all to you today because of time and really just trying to get your feedback on this approach. So our objective, timelines and milestones, monitoring frequency, key indicators, evaluation points along this way. What do we see at 3? What do we see at 5? What do we see at 10 years? And then success criteria for a 2035 date, 10 years out. So this would be the way that we would expect every one of these actions to have this type of an explanation associated with them. Again, there's about 18 of them in the current draft structure. Next slide, please. So getting from goal one, habitat restoration and biodiversity, to action one, restore coastal and marine habitats, to strategy 1.2, recovering abalone populations, location, nearshore rocky reefs, benefits. This is what happens when they're out there. Isn't that lovely? Identifying the lead and the partners, the estimated annual costs, and the implementation milestones. So Martha, what I'm hoping is that, you know, when we're showing this to the public and saying, look, this is exactly what we're doing. We're going out to these reefs. This is why we're doing it. These are the potential benefits. Here's who's involved. Here's how much it costs. And this is the target. And, you know, at the end of the year, when we submit our report to the EPA, it's like, hey, check the box. We spent the money and we put out 20,000 abalone. Job done. And then so the next year, hey, Tom, we still out planting abalone? Yes, we are. We got the money. The people are still involved. There's still plenty of ocean to be filled with snails. So we're going to do it again. And then maybe at some point in time, you know, those populations of abalone become self-sustaining, and then we get to take it off the to-do list, which is ultimately the goal. And then the otters come back, yes.
Quick question for you,
yes.
Tom. I mean, I do like what I'm seeing in terms of structure. I can see the value in terms of the streamlining for more than one areas. So I know you're in touch with other national estuary programs, and you probably have seen their CCMP, and that maybe, I know you got some advice from someone you said that was online, but then, you know, it could be helpful in terms of it. Maybe there's another national estuary program that has similar structure and that we're learning from them, right? And showing that something like this others have a structure like this, right? Because we are, anytime there's change, right, people are concerned. It's like, oh, this looks different. And, you know, they're not comfortable, but I know in terms of it looking at others that have something similar that are successfully using, that it's serving their purpose, I think that would be something that would be helpful to highlight.
Understood. And Nick Hafner is our grant administrator, and he's been working on this a great deal, and part of the job was to look at everybody else's CCMP and then find some good matches, because there's so much variability amongst these programs and their size and specifics about their geography and their population and land use practices and all that. So we found a few that we thought were good fits, and then we started using what they've developed to help us inform this strategy, or this construction or anatomy.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, Laurel, did you have a question?
I was just going to build off what Martha said. Are those referenced in the document so that those can be referenced, just as Martha was asking?
We can absolutely sit there and say, hey, thanks to these other NEPs whose efforts helped to elucidate our approach. Yeah, for sure. That sounds like a great idea.
Tom, I wanted to ask you if this is a good time to do it, about the goal tracking. That seems to be a new component that's not in the current version of the CCMP, or maybe it's not as clearly laid out. I just wanted to point that out for folks.
Yeah, I like that question, Luke. Thank you. Right, direct management actions. I don't know what that sort of organizes us around, other than understanding, in that case, sort of like the split of where our investments were going. I can't recall them off the top of my head, but I think there are, that those goals might not change a lot, but we would expect the action level to be approached and completed. Once we get all the abalone back, what's the next one? All right, the kelp forests are, we're getting close to finishing off the Palos Verdes Peninsula, like the entirety of it. So then, eelgrass has been our next big strategic push for us, because we haven't done much with the soft bottom habitats. I probably won't still be working here when that job is done, because I will be pushing up daisies. The opportunity to then, get that ecosystem or habitat back in place and sustainable, and then, the next one. So does that fall under, habitat and biodiversity? I think so. But what falls under habitat and biodiversity might change. And we've had some very wide-ranging conversations looking out, perhaps unnecessarily far into the future, but if warming continues on the planet as it has been, when are we talking about managing mangroves in a subtropical system here in LA that's converting into a tropical system? And
siltation that's bringing them in.
Yeah. So I think that, again, maybe I'm getting a little too deep on the philosophical side of this, but I think that's my... I hope I'm addressing your curiosity.
Yeah, I was just saying I appreciate how this seems to have a better format for tracking goals and ensuring that these targets are hit. Yeah, that's what I was getting at.
Thank you, and Caitlin and everybody else that's been providing input and helping us figure out, how to get this thing authored up. It's been a good effort. Should we keep going? There's our abalone populations. Boop. This would be another example, but it's mimicking that same structure. I don't know if you folks want to entertain trying to run through this, but that I'll leave that to you. Yeah, we're at 1:45.
And how much more do you have on here?
There's probably another 5 or 6 slides.
I think that's...
All right. I'll go through them a little quicker, because I think you guys don't need the intro. Community engagement and education under Goal 3. Region where communities are informed, empowered, and actively engaged in protecting and restoring the Santa Monica Bay and its watersheds, where environmental stewardship is part of everyday life, and all voices are included in shaping a healthier future. Here's our objective: to foster meaningful, equitable engagement across diverse communities by building environmental awareness, supporting behavior change, increasing participation in conservation, restoration, and water efforts. And our theory of change is that if we create accessible opportunities for learning, fostering inclusive partnerships and supporting communities in environmental decision-making and action, then we will cultivate a culture of stewardship improve environmental outcomes and ensure that all residents have a role in sustaining the health of the bay and its watershed. So under action six, below goal three, public education, environmental awareness and outreach, you see that objective largely repeated. And then our timeline and milestones, monitoring indicators, evaluation points, and success criteria. I would say perhaps using this one as a moving forward, the input that we need from our partners in this effort is, where in those implementation milestones does Heal the Bay wish to become part of the plan? And whether that is trying to get funding streams to them, recognition and visibility for what we collectively are trying to produce as a national estuary program, that, hey, yeah, we had Coastal Cleanup Day. We had 20,000 people come out to the beach this year to help us with Nothing But Sand and similar efforts. And to pull us off of this page and moving into water quality and availability, what does the county wish to be ascribed to in this plan? What would the city of LA, what would other municipalities or water districts say, hey, we want to commit to this? And it could be something simply about reporting and information sharing, communication going out to the public about this, the commission or the NEP having the ability to help bring people into that space. Like, oh, I don't really follow what's going on at the joint. At the water reclamation plant, but I was interested in what they were talking about, and therefore we're able to bring people's interest in to this holistic sort of ecosystem-based model approach. So that's where I think a lot of input is going to be needed over the next several months, reminding myself frequently during this process about, the $850,000 that we've been able to secure the last couple of years, hopefully to come as well, and where that investment makes sense. I don't know how much I could help you with your project with $850,000, seeing as how it has multiple commas and, 10-year build out, but could we help develop a communication or a co-branding or something like that to help get the information out, just as a for instance? Yay. There's one edit that is in the works that didn't make it into that. So right now we have our six goals and then the 18 actions were action 1, 2, 3, which fell under goal one, and then actions 4, 5, 6 fall under goal 2. That seems like a clumsy structure, because if I were to revise this in 2 years or 3 years or whenever something else comes on or something comes off, then all the goal numbers would need to move. So, it'd be goal 1, action 1.1, strategy 1.1.1. I think that's the numbering for the organization that you'll see in the next version of this. If you would like us to continue to develop this further and produce you a draft on, due to these guys, on August 7th.
Any thoughts at this point? I know I have a few things, but you go first, Luke.
Staff were recommending, since we are still in agenda item 2D, which is to establish the board meeting agenda, we were wondering if folks wanted to vote on the agenda and then get into discussion.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that. Okay, Caitlin. So is there a... So at this point, we're establishing the agenda for August 21st. So is... And does this one involve a roll call vote? I don't think it does.
Yes.
It
does. And we need a motion.
Okay. All right. Motion and a second.
So we have two items. Okay, Clark, thank you. Is there a second? To include the two items that we just discussed on the agenda for August 21st? Is there a second? I think we need a second.
I'll second.
Okay, good. So, Caitlin, roll call vote, please.
Yeah, I'll do that quickly. Okay. EJ Caldwell. I think he's left the meeting. Annalise Simo.
Yes.
Thank you. Clark Stevens.
Yes.
Martha Tremblay.
Yes.
And Laura Wardrip.
Yes.
Okay, the governing board meeting agenda is approved. Thank you.
Okay, and I think in terms of follow-up discussion on the CCMP on this updated draft. So at this point, you have developed some aspects of it. I think you've shared the goals, you've shared the wording, but it hasn't all, you haven't mapped it all out in terms of how it translates from our current to your proposed structure.
That map is somewhere around 70 to 80% complete.
So I guess in looking at the timeline, I think it's in terms of December potential consideration for approval. That means we need to start on, in terms of getting the governing board, reviewing, getting input. I think based on what I've seen, focusing on the objectives, the vision, that critical wording that sets the stage for the document is priority. And if I think if you're ready to present that, it seems like you have that, and that's critical in terms of setting the stage for the entire document. But along with that, though, I am going to, because once again, you know, I noticed the shift in terms of focusing on Clean Water Act 320 and the wording there. Clean Water Act does not get modified, so it's timeless. And I know we've had a lot of discussion in terms of making changes to wording and concern from the public, from governing board members in terms of what does that mean. So I really want to make sure that in terms of that the meeting, that we have enough time to provide discussion, and also in preparation for it, that we're pretty clear in terms of this is, you know, where we are looking for governing board input there, and that we give them references and links to information so that they can kind of help prepare to provide input in terms of some of these changes. I mean, we are modifying, I mean, the wording is different. The objectives from what we have now to what we're proposing are different, right? And that we are clear and transparent in terms of what this means. And, you know, words matter, right? But I think at the same time, you know, what is our focus? And in terms of, I think, of looking at the wording in the Clean Water Act is very helpful. Sometimes I see that that's regulatory language that doesn't translate well sometimes, right? So, you know, we're going to have to balance that, and we're going to need the governing board input in terms of what as a commission is important to us to highlight. So if we can start that process as soon as we can, I mean, please give Luke the information that he needs to put together information so that he can put something to move forward to the commission, and that they have some time to review before the meeting, and we can have discussion at the meeting, and that there is time, you know, maybe at the meeting we don't get, you know, we don't finish it all, or we still need to have more discussion, so that you consider that in your timeline.
Yeah, I don't want to speak for everyone, but we have all those considerations in mind. Very appreciate you bringing those up. And our intention is to produce a full draft, soup to nuts, on this for the August meeting. And then if there is direction to say, hey, folks, let's make sure that that high-order piece is rock solid first, While please go home and do some homework with your partners, with your sister agencies within your organization to come back so that in September and October, you know, we're getting meaningful information back so that we can alter that draft and move towards, you know, a final for folks to consider for approval by the end of the calendar year. I don't want to overload the cart, but we would also have to produce an annual work plan right on the heels of this. Hopefully, during the fall, we'll be able to remind folks that that is going to pop out the backside of this, and that this information that we're getting and the approval, the potential approval of this plan should, I think, support a fairly rapid translation to end, hey, here's, you know, we've been talking about it since August. So this is what's ready. This is what's been funded. These are the partnerships and strategies that are ready to go. And hopefully we'll be able to share those, I think, quite conveniently on the back end of figuring out this new plan.
And just one more thing. I think the last time we went through, maybe in 2018, I think I was around, I guess there was additional time. And, you know, we talked to the governing board in terms of maybe extending the meeting a little bit, right, to allow more time. I mean, there was time during the governing board meeting to kind of talk about things that were broken into smaller groups, and there was some facilitation. And I found that very helpful in terms of trying to understand what we were trying to accomplish. So maybe this is something that we can consider making the time, and maybe we can get some guidance from the board in August in terms of their willingness to give us a little bit more of their time so that we can have more discussion in the follow-up meetings. Any thoughts on that? Okay, thanks.
Yeah, and there will be an opportunity in October. Sorry. Go ahead, Erica.
Can I ask, is that a possibility for this coming August meeting, or is that too soon because they're hearing it for the first time? We had workshops. I don't know if that's the legal term, but I remember the same thing, Martha, like breaking into groups. The meeting was a half an hour or an hour longer, and it was easier to dig in. My follow-up question is that, does it make sense? And is it then follow-up to that, is it possible to do that in August or?
I would think with it being the summer and we're springing this up on them, that my recommendation would be that in August we get gauged and get input from the governing board, and that I think Caitlin or Luke said that that provides maybe October an opportunity to have a slightly longer, more targeted session on for, you know, to discuss and share and give input.
And I would wonder if this would have to be in person or not, too, to accommodate, you know, diverse participation. And because venues, I know, I remember their challenge in making sure people can participate. So.
Is the agenda for August, though, is fairly, this is the main thing, right? The other was the conflict of interest form. There aren't other presentations, right?
No, I think we just have
plenty of time.
Just Super. A couple of okay. items, and one okay. is just an admin item. So this would be the bulk of the presentation. So I would think our goal would try to focus on the high level concepts and get input and see if we can get some concurrence on some of the items, or and then that kind of helps set the stage for what remains. All right, so I know we're almost at noon, but unless anyone has any other thoughts, or Luke or Caitlin need anything else, we can conclude this item.
Nothing on our end.
Okay.
I just want to acknowledge that making a very complex document, future documents, and kind of stepping back to rethink and organize is really challenging. And, you know, nice job and good color scheme.
Thank you, Clark. I'll pass that on to the team, too.
All right, thank you. So with that, item three is member comments and announcements regarding matters not on the agenda. Does anyone have anything they want to share at this time? No. All right, I know it's noon, and you know we really appreciate your time and commitment to the executive committee and giving us input. So with that, maybe I'll announce that the next governing board meeting is on August 21st at 9:30 at the Delray Yacht Club. The next executive committee meeting is September 18 at 10 a.m. And I guess we're back here at the Hyperion Environmental Learning Center. So at 10 a.m., Tom.
10 a.m. Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes.
So with that, unless anyone has any questions or thoughts, we can, there's no closed session. So we can adjourn right at noon. All right. Thank you, everyone. Have a great day. Thank you, everyone online.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, AV team.